Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman, member by Ram Goldar, and today Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Ein Gimel, the 8th Perek, Ben Sur Amora. The Zichu Masechta Sanhedrin program has been dedicated to Zichu Nishmas Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Ben Rav Menachem, and his son Rav Menachem Avram Ben Rav Moshe Ben Yamin. May their neshamas have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states, these are those whom we save from sinning with their lives, meaning they're killed to be stopped. One who's pursuing someone to kill him, or pursuing a male or a namarasa to have relations with him. However, one who is pursuing an animal for relations, or is about to be machal Shabbos or worship of Avodah Zorah, is not killed. Rashi explains that this law applies where there is an avera and pagam. There's a disgrace to the victim, or death. The law to kill potential murderer is derived from a hekesh from namarasa, where the pasuk says, "Ve'ein moshiyala," there was no rescuer for her, which implies that if there was a potential rescuer, he must save her in any way that he can save her, including killing the pursuer. A brayse expands this to include someone pursuing any erva, punishable by karas or mises basin, and excludes relations of chai ve'lavin. Rabbi Shimon Yochai holds one is killed even to prevent him from serving Avodah Zorah, and Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Shimon applies it to even to one attempting to be machal Shabbos. Point number two, in the brayse, Rabbi Yehuda said, "Afal meres hanichu lo shuhar agena," even if the woman tells rescuers, "Leave him to violate me and do not stop him, so he'll not kill her if they attempt to rescue," the pursuer cannot be killed. Rav Papa defines Malchokas, but Makpedas al Pigma, when she's concerned about her being disgraced, but she allows him to violate her, so he'll not kill her. The Rabban hold a Pigma Kabir Rahmana, the merciful one is concerned with her disgrace against her will, and here, where she objects to being violated and only allows it to protect her life, the pursuer may be killed. However, if she consents to be disgraced, he cannot be killed. Yudo holds that the Torah allowed killing a pursuer, Mishum Demasra Nafshal Katala, because she might sacrifice herself to be killed rather than being violated. Here, where she clearly will not sacrifice herself, the pursuer is not killed. The Gemara clarifies that the Rabban hold the pursuer is only killed to prevent Pigma Rabba, her great disgrace, meaning an erva whose relations render her a zona, not the lesser disgrace of an almana being violated by a Kohen Gadol, who's only rendered a chalala. And point number three, the Braisa before taught that one pursuing any erva can be killed to stop him. The Gemara said a Mishnah teaches that one who violates his sister pays the 50 shekel knas for violating a basula. But if he could have been killed at the time, he should be exempt from the knas because of kimle b'drabi minei. Some suggested that she becomes disgraced at the moment of ha'ara, the first stage of relations, after which he cannot be killed, and the knas obligation takes effect when he makes her abu'ula. However, this answer is untenable, according to the opinion that Ha'ara is when she becomes a Ba'ula. Rav Chisda answers that the cases where he first had relations with her, Shelo Kedarka, unnaturally, so she's already disgraced but still a Basula, and then violated her normally, for which she becomes liable for the Knas. Rava says that cases where she tells rescuers to allow the pursuer to violate her, following Rav Yehuda's opinion, that the pursuer cannot be killed. Rav Papa says the case is the Mefuta, where she was seduced, not forced, and all agree the man cannot be killed. Abai offers an additional answer. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The next Mishnah states, Ve'elohen shematzilin osam benavshan. These are those whom we save from sinning with their lives, meaning they're killed to be stopped. One who's pursuing someone to kill him, or pursuing a male or a namarasa to have relations with them. However, one who is pursuing an animal for relations, or is about to be machal Shabbos or worship of Avodah Zorah, is not killed. Rashi explains that this law applies where there is an avera and pagam. There's a disgrace to the victim, or death. The law to kill potential murderer is derived from a hekesh from namarasa, where the pasuk says, "Ve'ein moshiyala," there was no rescuer for her, which implies that if there was a potential rescuer, he must save her in any way that he can save her, including killing the pursuer. A brayse expands this to include someone pursuing any erva, punishable by karas or mises basin, and excludes relations of chai ve'lavin. Rabbi Shimon Yochai holds one is killed even to prevent him from serving Avodah Zorah, and Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Shimon applies it to even to one attempting to be machal Shabbos. Point number two, in the brayse, Rabbi Yehuda said, "Afal meres hanichu lo shuhar agena," even if the woman tells rescuers, "Leave him to violate me and do not stop him, so he'll not kill her if they attempt to rescue," the pursuer cannot be killed. Rav Papa defines Malchokas, but Makpedas al Pigma, when she's concerned about her being disgraced, but she allows him to violate her, so he'll not kill her. The Rabban hold a Pigma Kabir Rahmana, the merciful one is concerned with her disgrace against her will, and here, where she objects to being violated and only allows it to protect her life, the pursuer may be killed. However, if she consents to be disgraced, he cannot be killed. Yudah holds that the Torah allowed killing a pursuer, Mishum Demasra Nafshel Katala, because she might sacrifice herself to be killed rather than being violated. Here, where she clearly will not sacrifice herself, the pursuer is not killed. The Gemara clarifies that the Rabbanan hold the pursuer is only killed to prevent Pigma Rabba, her great disgrace, meaning an erva whose relations render her a zona, not the lesser disgrace of an almana being violated by a kohen gadol, who's only rendered a chalala. And point number three, the Braisa before taught that one pursuing any erva can be killed to stop him. The Gemara said a Mishnah teaches that one who violates his sister pays the 50 shekel knas for violating a basula. But if he could have been killed at the time, he should be exempt from the knas because of kimle b'drabi minei. Some suggested that she becomes disgraced at the moment of ha'ara, the first stage of relations, after which he cannot be killed, and the knas obligation takes effect when he makes her a ba'ula. However, this answer is untenable, according to the opinion that ha'ara is when she becomes a ba'ula. Rav Chisda answers that the cases where he first had relations with her, shelo kedarka, unnaturally, so she's already disgraced but still a basula, and then violated her normally, for which she becomes liable for the knas. Rava says the cases where she tells rescuers to allow the pursuer to violate her, following Rav Yudah's opinion, that the pursuer cannot be killed. Rav Papa says the case is the mafuta, where she was seduced, not forced, and all agree the man cannot be killed. Abai offers an additional answer. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Ayin Gimel, and this Siman was suggested to us by Charlie Meyerson from Scottsdale, Arizona. He suggested that Ayin Gimel is a giant ostrich egg. An egg, a giant ostrich egg. So here goes. The man throwing giant ostrich eggs, trying to kill an assaulter to protect a woman, stopped when she said, leave him be, rendering the attacker chayiv in a kanas. Once again, in slow motion. The man throwing giant ostrich eggs, that must run off Ayin Gimel. The man throwing giant ostrich eggs, trying to kill an assaulter to protect a woman, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Ve'elohen shematzilin osam benafshan. These are those whom we save from sinning with their lives, meaning they're killed to be stopped. One is pursuing someone to kill him, or pursuing a male or an amorasa to have relations with them. However, one who is pursuing an animal for relations, or is about to be machal Shabbos or worship of Avodah Zorah, is not killed. Rashi explains that this law applies to where there is an avera and pagam. There is a disgrace to the victim, or death. So the man throwing giant ostrich eggs, trying to kill an assaulter to protect a woman, stopped when she said, leave him be, which reminds us, in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda said, Af homeres hanichulo, shol yargena. Even if the woman tells rescuers, leave him to violate me and do not stop him, so not kill her, if they attempt to rescue, the pursuer cannot be killed. So the man throwing giant ostrich eggs, trying to kill an assaulter to protect a woman, stopped when she said, leave him be, rendering the attacker chayiv in kanas, which reminds us the Braisa taught that one pursuing any erva can be killed to stop him. The Gemara that a Mishnah teaches that one who violates his sister pays the 50 shekel kanas for violating a basula. But if he could have been killed at the time, he should be exempt from the kanas because of kimle b'derabim minei. Rav Chisda answers that the cases where he first had relations with her, shelo kedarka, unnaturally, so she's already disgraced, but still basula, and then violated her normally, for which she becomes liable for the knas. Other answers are given. So once again, the man throwing giant ostrich eggs, trying to kill an assaulter to protect a woman, stopped when she said, leave him be, rendering the attacker chayiv in knas. All right, so now it's time for four blabach hazara. Daf Samach Tet. So the Siman Daf Samach Tet is soot, and we use a chimney sweep for the Siman. So here goes. The boy chimney sweep, that must be on Daf Samach Tet, soot. The boy chimney sweep, who was not chayv as a ben Sora Mora, because he was already planning on bringing his soon-to-be-born son into the business, which reminds us, a bright Siman Mishmol's yeshiva taught ben velo av. Only a son can become a ben Sora Mora, but not one who is a father. Rabbi Shmuel's drushes explained, ben velo harui lakroso av. Only a son can become a ben Sora Mora, but not one who's fit to be called a father. Once he's an adult for 3 months and a pregnancy from him would be noticeable, he's excluded from the law of ben Sora Mora. So the boy chimney sweep, who was not chayv as a ben Sora Mora, because he was already planning on bringing his soon-to-be-born son into the business, being that it was a full 3 months since his bar mitzvah and not less because we go after Rove, which reminds us, Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua inferred from Rabbi Krispadai that a boy is Rui Krosso of after 3 months of adulthood, that the pregnancy of a woman who gives birth after just 7 months instead of 9 is not noticeable after a third of her days, meaning 2 1/3 months, but after 3 months. Otherwise, a boy should be excluded from Ben Sora Mor in less than 3 months, since he can impregnate a woman who gives birth after 7 months. Ravina rejected the proof, saying Zilba Saruba will follow the majority. Since most women give birth after 9 months, he's not Rui Okrosso of until after 3-4 months. So the boy chimney sweep, who was not Chayiv as a Ben Soromora because he was already planning on bringing his soon-to-be-born son into the business, since it was a full 3 months since his bar mitzvah, and not less because we go after Rove, had a long family history of doing things young, as his ancestors became a great-grandfather at the young age of 26, which reminds us, the Gemara seeks to prove that 8-year-olds of previous generations fathered children. After the first attempts are rejected, the Gemara eventually proves that Betzalel was 26 years younger than his great-grandfather, Kalev. After subtracting 2 years for the pregnancies of the 3 generations, it emerges that 3 generations fathered children over 24 years, proving that each generation fathered a child at age 8. Daf Ayin, so the Siman Daf Ayin is an eye doctor. So here goes. The eye doctor, that must be our Daf Ayin, eye. The eye doctor was trying to examine the red eyes of a young drunk patient who poured wine all over his face, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses the ill effects of wine and how it can ruin people. Rav Chanan said, "Nivra yan bo'olam el nachem avelim l'sham schar l'rashayim." Wine was only created in the world to comfort mourners and to give earthly reward to the wicked. So the eye doctor was trying to examine the red eyes of a young drunk patient who poured wine all over his face and was crying out, "Vai, vai, vai," as he mumbled something about Noach's tent, which reminds us over Gulila Darshan that the letter Vav is written 13 times in the incident of Noach planting a vineyard and becoming drunk to hint to cries of Vai Vai, whoa, whoa. Rav and Shmuel debate what Noach's son Cham did to him. One says Sereso, he castrated him. The other says Revo, he had relations with him. The first opinion says that because Cham disabled Noach from having a fourth son, Noach cursed Canaan, Cham's fourth son. The other opinion responds that Cham did both. So the eye doctor was trying to examine the red eyes of a young drunk patient who poured wine all over his face and was crying out, "Vai, vai, vai," as he mumbled something about Noach's tent. Notice the young boy had brought a photo of himself drinking wine and eating meat at a chaburah's mitzvah convened for Ibra HaChodesh, which reminds us, Rabbi Avo said that one only becomes a Ben Sora or Mora if he ate at a gathering, Shekula Srikin, who are all good for nothings. This is a challenge from the Mishnah, which taught that if he ate at a gathering involving a mitzvah, meaning the meal convened for Ibra HaChodesh, he does not become a Ben Sora or Mora, implying that as long as it was not a mitzvah gathering, he would be liable. The Gemara answers that the Mishnah teaches that even if he did eat at a gathering of idlers, since he was involved in a mitzvah at this gathering, he's not liable because of Lamimshich. He will not be drawn to continue doing so. Daf Ayin Aleph. So the Siman Daf Ayin Aleph is a donkey going, ee-aw. So here goes. Well, the rabbi was getting schar for darshaning in the Parsha Ben Sora Mora, imagining a husband and wife with identical voices, appearance, and height riding on donkeys. Donkeys? That must be on Daf Ayin Aleph. Ee-aw. While the rabbi was getting schar for darshaning in the Parsha Ben Sora Mora, imagining a husband and wife with identical voices, appearance, and height riding on donkeys taking their son to Beis Din, which reminds us, and Bryce Rabbi explains that the Ben Sora's mother must be Shava L'Avi B'Kol U'B'Maru U'B'Koma, similar to his father in voice, appearance, and height. Because this is nearly impossible, Rabbi Yehuda may be the Tana who said, Ben Sora Mora Lohaya V'la Asil Lios. There was never a Ben Sora Mora, and there never will be. And the reason it was written in the Torah was Drosh B'Kol Schar. Go darshan it and receive reward for doing so. Rabbi Yonason reports having sat on the grave of a Ben Sora Mora. So while the rabbi was getting schar for darshaning the Parsha of Ben Sora Mora, imagining a husband and wife with identical voices, appearance, and height riding on donkeys taking their son to Beis Din, a Ben Noach who killed another Ben Noach and then converted walked out of Beis Din exempt, which reminds us, the Brisa states that a Ben Noach who killed another Ben Noach or had relations with his fellow's wife and converted is exempt since he would not be executed for doing so now. So while the rabbi is getting schar for darshaning in the Parsha Ben Sora Mora, imagining a husband and wife with identical voices, appearance, and height riding on donkeys, taking the son to Beis Din, a Ben Noach who killed another Ben Noach and then converted walked out of Beis Din exempt and was astonished when he saw a Ben Sora Mora on a donkey with meat and wine in his hand heading down the wrong path towards Amanda, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that a Ben Sora Mora is Nidon al Shem Sofo, is judged based on his ultimate end, because we say, Yamuz Zakai Val Yamuz Chayv, let him die innocent and not die after he becomes guilty of murder. In a bright Rabbi Yossi Aglia explains, does he deserve to be stoned for consuming a tartamer of meat and a log of Italian wine? Rather, the Torah foresaw his ultimate end. After depleting his father's assets, he'll seek to maintain his habit and rob people on the crossroads and murder those who resist. Therefore, it's better that he should die while he's still innocent. Daf Ayin Beis. So the Siman Daf Ayin Beis is a thick piece of cake. So here goes. The cake thief risking his life tunneling into a house to steal a thick piece of cake. Thick piece of cake? That must be on Daf Iron base of thick. The cake thief risking his life tunneling into a house to steal a thick piece of cake, which reminds us, a burglar who enters a house by Machteris may be killed because he's prepared to kill the homeowner. Rava explains this law. Chazakein adam mamin atzma mamonu. There is an established presumption that a person does not hold himself back from protecting his property. So the burglar who takes this into account must have decided that if the homeowner will confront him, he'll kill the homeowner. So the cake thief risking his life tunneling into a house to steal a thick piece of cake, knocked over and broke a glass cake dish that he was exempt from paying for. Which reminds us, the Mishnah stated that if the burglar broke a barrel while he was breaking in, then ein lo damim, if he has no blood, meaning he is an ordinary burglar who may be killed, he's patur from paying the damages. Since he may be killed, he cannot also be liable for damages during that time, because we say, kamlei b'derabim minei, he's only subject to the greater punishment. So the cake thief risking his life tunneling into a house to steal a thick piece of cake, knocked over and broke a glass cake dish that he was exempt from paying for, and woke up the baby whose mother unfortunately passed away during childbirth. Which reminds, the Mishnah states that although before a baby is born, it can be killed to save the mother's life, because an unborn child is not a full-fledged life, yatzarosho enogimbo, after its head came out of the mother, we cannot touch it, meaning to kill it, to save the mother. Because we do not push away one life to save another life. But according to Rav Huna, the baby should be a rotif, since it threatens the mother's life and may be killed. The Gemara answers that that case is different because it's from Shemayim that the mother is being pursued, meaning the baby is not actively pursuing the mother. The danger is happening on its own. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which duff do we discuss the ill effects of wine? That's on duff. Ayin. Good. Number two, which stuff do we learn about Rabbi Kiva's reaction to Rabbi Eliezer's passing? That's on Duff. Samaches. Good. Number three, which stuff do we learn how one who violates an erva, such as a brother violating a sister, can be liable for kanas if he could have been killed? That's on Duff. Ayin Gimel. Good. Number four, which stuff do we learn a Ben Noach who kills another Ben Noach and then converts is pater? That's on Duff. Ayin off. Good. Number five, which stuff do we discuss whether we learn from Doros or Rishonim about a katan fathering a child at 8, such as in the case of Kalev, who was a great-grandfather at 26? That's on Duff. Samach Tesk. Number six, which stuff do we learn if the woman tells rescuers to let the pursuer be and let him violate her for her fear she'll be killed, the rotif cannot be killed? That's on Duff. Ayin Gimel. Good. Number seven, which of the learn that is permitted to hide witnesses in order to entrap a Macy's? That's on Duff. Samach Zayin. Good. Number eight, which stuff do the Mishnah that lists those we save from sinning by killing them, such as one who pursues a Nar Marasa? That's on Duff. Ayin Gimel. Good. Number nine, which stuff do when a burglar who enters a house may be killed because he's prepared to kill the homeowner? That's on Duff. Ayin Beis. Good. Number 10, which stuff about the Chartumim's inability to duplicate Kinim and about the single Tzvardeah? That's on Duff. Samach Zayin. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.